Romans 13, let's get right into this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for that midweek, Lord, to come and worship you. You are God Almighty. You are Father in heaven. We worship you. Lord, thank you for Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We pour out our lives unto you for all that you have done, Lord. This cry for mercy. Thank you. We pray tonight that you would use this teaching of the Spirit and the Word, that just continue to equip us, continue to perfect your saints. Lord, we need this tonight, and we need your work in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, all those things that turn us out of our way unto your ways that are higher. On this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Where's your tan, Chris?
Tried really hard. Didn't happen.
You hold the record for the worst sunburn on Mexico mission trips.
I was in the pool a lot.
Okay. All right. Okay, Romans 13, Bible study. I entitled it tonight, Overcome Evil with Good, which is actually 12:21. So you remember when we all got together and we got stuck at verse 5 as we tried as a church to remember Romans 12 and we got stuck at verse 5, but we never got through to 12:21, to overcome evil, not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject under higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, no doubt this has become controversial, maybe from the day it was written. But certainly anytime we're going to follow the Word of God and we're going to take God at His Word. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the people of God or the man of God, the woman of God, the people of God may be equipped, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We need this chapter. We've concentrated for 2 months on chapter 12 because the Holy Spirit's doing a work in and through our lives. Very important that we understand what the church is. We're called out of the world. When we studied Romans 12, it's for the entire intent and understanding that the church that belongs to Jesus would live as Jesus in this world. And frankly, when we come to chapter 13, it is a continuation, but it now is really the church's relationship with the authority of the world. And this is important for all time. But I will say this, when we study the Bible and what's coming with prophecy and knowing that the Antichrist is coming. In fact, when John wrote the church and some of the last things written to the church, obviously Revelation, but even his letters, he warned that the Antichrist is coming. And he says, and yet you already know this, that many Antichrists are already here. And yet this chapter says, be subject, let every soul. And that, so this is not, can you turn it down a bit? I'm getting echo for my ears. I don't know what it's doing for the rest of the room. This every soul being subject, it's not outside of anybody. And even the way this is written, again, it is a command to hupostasso. That's the word subject. Or maybe as you study this word throughout Scripture, it's an important one, to be submitted, to place yourself under. And the way that is conjugated, again, it's a verb, and it's in the middle voice. So you say, well, what does that matter? Well, it really matters, because if it's in the active voice, you just got something to do, okay? Or if it's in the passive voice, you know, that's being done, that action is being done unto you. But when you put it in the middle, you have an active part in that obedience to this command. It's imperative. That means it's command. And since it's in the middle voice, you have an active part in the obedience, and then it also then affects you on the other side. So I'll be straight up on this. It doesn't get any clearer than this. If we will not submit, right, that means that we're placing ourselves somewhere else than where God placed his church in this world. In fact, as we studied this and we really came across this wonderful truth of every soul be subject unto the higher powers. It's his truth. That word to place yourself under is used in Greek writings in a military sense. So very appropriate for us to see that this is the military ordered under the rank of all the commanding officers and various officers and numbers of soldiers, etc. It's this word that is used in Ephesians 5 to describe the relationship of the church with Jesus. And then likewise, it's compared with, by intent, a godly marriage, that a woman would place herself under that rank. And again, to her, it's written in the second person, and it would be written that, so it renders submit yourselves unto. And so it's for her to place herself under where God placed her and agree with that. And much the same way when we study genuine church and glorious church, that there's this wonderful truth. And now here's the reality of this as I just lay this forth, where it says, do not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, I'm going to stir up your minds. Okay? I'm going to stir it up in this way. If you being evil, okay? What's the next part of that? If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. I find that evil is present with me, the one who wants to do good. We've studied Romans 7. You come to something like this, and there's a better chance that the evil is going to be in me than in the authorities that are in the world. Ouch. Do you hear that? There's a better chance that I would be at risk in not placing myself under God's authority as he arranges it in the world. Does God know what he's doing with the governments of the world? See? And this idea really comes down to me stirring up your minds to say, well, this is word of God. And if it's profitable for reproof, you get reproof tonight. Say, Lord, thank you. If I was way out of bounds in regards to being subject unto the, again, most versions say governing authorities. The Greek word there for higher powers is a compound word that takes the powers that be above, or the excellency, this truth, I would say, of every soul, every psuche, every life. This is, again, it's written without exception. And you think of the importance of this from the perspective of overcoming evil. So I entitled tonight, Overcome Evil with Good. And this is the first thing. How much more does your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And if you are evil, know how to give good gifts. Again, just stir up your minds. Let's be like Jesus. Let's be good in the context and definition of his goodness. Now, when I study this out, the higher powers, there is no power but of God. You see that phrase in the middle of verse 1. There is no exousia, no authority, but of God. Again, there's a conjunction in there, and it literally says that. The powers that be are set in place by God. So you remember the difficulty the prophets would have when the prophecies were coming that the Babylonians were going to destroy Judah and carry them away. And the prophets who are getting that word from the Lord and they're hearing from the Lord, the false prophets are saying, no, it's just going to be a little while and God's going to restore us. And then Jeremiah, and you listen to the other prophets who are hearing this thing and they're crying out. And God says, I'm going to do something in your day that when your ears hear this, you're not going to believe it. And you're like, oh, that's going to be something good. No. It was him declaring that he would use an evil nation from the eyesight and view of Israel, of Judah, and he would use the evil Babylonians to judge them. And then you study your scriptures and you find out God used the Assyrians to rearrange the authorities and governing authorities in that day. And then he used the Babylonians. And then he judges the Babylonians and the Assyrians after that. See, this place of us, really now, we have enough world history to really agree with God if we want to. And decide that all these things that have happened, that God, I see your hand in every single power that has been in place. World War II is fascinating. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating because it's probably the closest we've ever seen in the entire world to what the book of Revelation says is coming. And what turned that back? The best I can figure out what turned that back was God. God. God turned it back. Not man. So this command that's in the middle voice then says, when we actively place ourselves under every authority, it's really to our benefit in overcoming evil. Now, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. There's that reoccurring theme, those seven letters to the seven churches, and to every one of them there's this phrase, to him that overcomes. To him that overcomes. To him that overcomes. To him that overcomes. This victory. Now, in our natural realm, we have a way to obtain victory. In the supernatural realm, along comes this instruction from the Word of God. So maybe tonight isn't so much a reproof as you're like, no, I believe this. I've studied it. I need to be instructed. Right? God, would you use this Word by your Holy Spirit to instruct me in the way that I need to go now? Let's look at some parallel passages. Satan's had the Bible long enough to twist it. Okay? How long did it take him to twist the Word of God with Eve in the beginning? God gave one command to Adam. I'm sure Satan was there somewhere paying attention. And then he comes to Eve and does what to the Word of God? Twists it. The third temptation of our Lord out in the wilderness, what's Satan come with? Takes two passages together, right? Associates the scripture, cast yourself down. Right? He's had this long enough. So Titus 3, verse 1. Now, what were the men like on the island of Crete, where Titus was sent to raise up elders in the church and bring forth a people subject unto every authority? You study this stuff out. This is the real thing. They were a very difficult people on the island of Crete, had reputation, and Titus is left there. And so Titus is not a weak man, or is he a soft man? He goes there. And then the word that Paul writes to Titus in Titus 3:1, he says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates. And then look at that phrase, to be ready for every good work. Hey, if we're not submitted, we're not ready for every good work. Do you know why? If we're not submitted, we're not going to be ready when God says go. Because if we have an objection or a contention, and the God's obedience requires us to go stand before Pontius Pilate after being horribly treated, and we stand before him in the will of God, and we would say, I will not submit unto this government. They don't rightly belong here. Or you stand before Pontius Pilate like Jesus, and when he says, you're going to answer for yourself? Don't you know I have power over you for life and death? My paraphrase. Now, I set this forth. The church, us, we, in our day, and this it's we are to be reminded. If you take this, every soul be subject, the higher powers, that's the governing authorities. There's no power but of God, but he put them in place. And then Paul tells Titus, to a very difficult people, remind them. Okay, everybody tracking with this. So I'm going to remind us of a couple things. 1 Peter chapter 2, this one's worth looking at. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Oh, how we should have submitted unto this earlier. Do you ever come to the scriptures like that? And you're like, oh, I really wish I would have understood, known, had. I really wish I would have received that correction when it would have come, instead of going all those years going my own way. I have about a 10-year time period where I ran away from the Lord, and how many times I'd be back and just started serving the Lord. I'd always do the math. I really wish I was at now where I'm at. I wish I was 10 years earlier. Yeah? So this is 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Okay. So God put everything in place, and now Peter comes along and says, submit yourself unto every ordinance, what man has set in place for the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme. So again, we can talk about, you know, that's the ruling authority over the governments of each individual state in this world. And then Peter goes on to describe, or unto governors, or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so this is the will of God, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Pray for the church in Maine. Anybody paying attention to this? Now, only a submitted church can stand up to an evil government, because a rebellious church will not stand up. Okay? When you walk in righteousness, when you do the will of God, the church in Maine is being told that they must open their doors and accept without preaching that it's sin to homosexuals, to the LGBTQ+. And it's being targeted at one of the Christian schools in Bangor. See, this is here and now. It's coming everywhere at some point. And what I learned in the last 3 or 4 years is most Christians don't understand authority, don't understand submission, don't know that they have that power granted to us. There is no king in America. You do understand that almost everything that was forced upon us was nothing other than suggestions or proclamations. Well, I, as the CEO of this nonprofit organization called Calvary Chapel Fargo, decree that you no longer have to wear a mask. That's all they were. Now, when I describe this, why are we in so much trouble? Because we're not really submitted unto, right? And so then when somebody can come in as a usurper, a liar, a deceiver, like, oh, just submit yourself unto the ordinance. They weren't ordinances. Okay. Now, I'm going to show you another authority here in just a bit. But we've got a decision to make if we believe the scriptures and say submitting ourselves unto every ordinance. That, there's a lot of ordinances to submit ourselves unto. Now, the higher powers, I already talked about that. The exousia, that's authority. That's authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, strength. And think about it. We have a mayor of the city who is placed there by God to govern the city. Okay. Now, when he said that his authority, he sought to extend his authority over the church, I wrote him a letter and said no. And he writes back to me, I think you're going to be happy about that. We changed all the numbers and that. So I'm like almost going to start this dialogue. The Lord says, don't say a word. Now, when you describe this, I'm a submitted man. I'm under authority. Now, when we talk about power, so here, Peter is very clear when he writes about submitting. Paul's very clear, and we're clear. When we think of the power, so you can talk about higher powers, and again, I can't help but be distracted by the AA and the NA and all the 12-step programs and higher powers. Well, So I'm back on track now. Just had to say that. All power and authority was granted unto whom? Jesus. When did that happen? When did he overcome? The cross. Right? We wouldn't know he had overcome until what? Resurrection from the dead. Okay? All power. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What comes next? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded thee, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. You want to talk higher power, you right there. All power is given unto Jesus, and then he charges us to go therefore and make disciples of every nation. He charges us, if you will, to overcome evil with good. Now, would you be surprised to find out that the same God who gave you that charge and that command set all of the ordinances and governments in place, and together in agreeing with him, when that power has come into his life, any Holy Spirit power comes. So you have two powers at work, right? You have exousia, which is authority, and then you have dunamis, which is strength, power, ability. So you take full authority granted unto Jesus. He gives that full authority to the church. Is there any more full authority than when he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed? Are we lacking in authority? See, and the biggest problem is the church doesn't understand, right? Does not understand that Jesus is the power. Okay, and now, again, I'll stirring up your minds. Jude 1:25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. No governments, right? I don't bow the knee and worship any higher power of this world. See, the power is Jesus, and we are his, called out of the world. But where does he leave us? He leaves us in this world. And then he says to us, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome. Overcome. So living as overcomers in this world, under authority, Jesus, come heal my servant. In fact, he sent a servant to tell Jesus to come heal a servant. And then when Jesus was still away off, he sent another servant and says, just send the word. You don't have to come under my house. And he recognized in Jesus, he says, I too am a man under tasso. So we hupo tasso, right? Subject ourselves under, place ourselves under. He says, I too am set under authority. Right? That's the centurion. I too am set under authority. I too, for I also am a man set under authority. Having me soldiers, I say to one, go, he goes. Another comes, he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. Woe to the governments of the world who resist the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who could withstand that type of power? Who could resist God? Are you willing to put your body on the line over that? That's Romans 13. What did Jesus do? Right? He committed himself to him who judges righteously, and he placed himself under every authority of man. Now, when I describe that, again, this is the truth. So verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. Very clear. That which is set in place, God did that. God knows the laws of every land. He knows what he's doing. He's having all that. So, for example, when our not-so-Supreme Court opposed God in their ruling of what marriage is, okay, not too long ago, before that, I was an agent under authority granted unto me by the state of North Dakota, that I could sign a marriage license and then that would be legally recognized by the state. But the moment that they ruled against God, and I think our governor was the first one to say, we're going for that. Interesting. Is that submission? Well, here's the power granted unto Jesus. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded. How can I teach something contrary on marriage? Now, yes, Satan's going to come and say, you should submit unto everything. So you do understand. Now, let's capture this verse. So, I don't want to resist God. That's this whole thing. Whosoever resists the authority, the exousia, resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation, condemned. So there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. What does it matter what they do to us? You start to catch this strength. The strength is for us to be subject unto every ordinance and not resist. So this word for resist is just, it's that straightforward. Opposing, resisting. James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. James 4:6. Now, I'm stirring up your minds tonight unto the very clear, simple teaching of Scripture. We are to be, as the church, we are subject unto the governing authorities in this world. Okay? Why can we live that way? Because we're already under a higher authority. Who's the ruler of this world? The devil is. You don't think God doesn't know about that? Well, that's why he sent Jesus to defeat him. The ruler of this world is judged. He's simply waiting for his sentencing. And so the church, like Jesus, set forth in this world to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Go preach the gospel, preach repentance, bring people, call them out of the world and into Jesus, out of darkness and into light, under that authority to go and make disciples. And what did God tell us? He said that I will place you in all the parts of this world and I'll put you under authority where you're at, and that is how you will overcome evil. The ruler of this world rules and has his minions and helpers and does, and he has a kingdom, right? The accusation by the Jews that Jesus, his power was from the devil. In fact, the ruler of the demons, Beelzebub, that the first, the arch, if you will, the arch power of the devil, that's the power at work in Jesus, and that's where he brings up the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Condemnation. Now, you see this clear thing that is set forth. So if Satan's the ruler of the world, does that mean the church is submitted unto the devil? Now, you see how crazy this would be if we didn't exercise our minds to what God's really saying. So he says, right, James 4:7, the next verse, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So if God resists the proud, and we're told to be humble, what's one of the worst ways for us to agree with the devil and be found to be opposing God and God opposing us and us agreeing with the devil? Pride. Okay? 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Four verses later, 1 Peter 5:9, whom resist, speaking of the devil, right? Whom resist steadfast in the faith? So this being subject unto the authorities is not subject unto the evil one, but rather we oppose him because now we're called out of this world and we belong to Jesus. And then he places us under authority in all the places and through prayer, doing the will of God. That's where evil is overcome by good. In fact, Peter describes when you suffer according to the will of God. We'll pick up here in Romans 13, verse 3, and we'll tie it back to what Peter said. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. So take this back to what I've stirred up our minds unto tonight, to overcome evil with good, and describing the governing authorities that God have put in place have a responsibility as far as God is concerned. He put them there to punish evildoers and to reward those that do good. If you're doing good, you don't have to be afraid of the authority. But what if it's an evil authority and then they want to harm you for doing good? Isn't that why we have martyrs? Isn't that why Jesus died in the first place? Who are you to choose where you lay your life down or don't lay your life down? What if that through that death, that's the way that God overcomes evil? See, this is not for the lighthearted. It's not for the wrong perception of church, that somehow church is a part of this world and that we have to agree together with the world to accomplish the world's purposes. Last three or four years, I found out who the church is, and they're with Satan. They're with the spirit of Antichrist. They're promoting this and that. They're not assembling together anymore. And you look at this and you're like, wow. Rulers are terror not to good works. So what happens if you suffer for doing good? What are we supposed to do if you suffer for doing good? 1 Peter 3:13 and 14. Key verse, right? And who is he that will harm you? Or again, who is he that will do evil to you if you be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. And then in verse 4, he says that the minister of God, that's not doulos, it's not the deacon, it's not the table waiter. This minister is something like letargos. It is a word to describe a public servant. Right? Pronunciation's horrible, I'm sorry. But this is the public servants. He is the public minister of God to thee for good. So what happens when governments don't do good? Has God set the church in place to rise up and through rebellion throw off the governments of this world? Did anybody ever follow up where Obama went to church for 20 years and the doctrine that was taught there? Liberation theology. Romans 13 doesn't exist in that theology. It's set up contrary to Scripture. You do understand, as we take this up, if we're submitted unto God, we're the only ones who will be in place when we have to say what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Isn't that what it is? All right, the music's going to start playing again, boys. And this time, you're going to dance. Well, you're going to bow down. You're going to worship my gods. King, don't even bother playing the music again. You don't have to test us in this. We're not going to bow down. Our God is able to save us. But then that quote, but even if he doesn't. See? Now, the equipping of saints for the work of the ministry, the submission unto government prepares you for what? To be able to endure every wrongdoing so that you actually have some strength and endurance and you can say no when you have to, because if anything gets in the way between go therefore and make disciples of all nations, all authority is, all power is given unto Jesus and he gave us all authority. We don't operate under the authority we've been given. And that's how a government can come along and lie to all the people and say, we give you rights. We give you freedoms. Wait a minute. That's wrong. That's a lie. They are given to us by God. And then you and Jesus won that victory on the cross, and he's put us, he purchased us, we're his own, and he put us, if you will, under orders. And what is compatible with Jesus' teachings as he lived it out is he was fully submitted unto the authorities of the world, and so are we, and we're placed there. You don't know, right? And so we're to pray that if you're in front of someone, that the Holy Spirit would give you power to witness to them, and the Spirit of God might want to speak to them right in that spot. Do you think Pontius Pilate heard what the Spirit of God wanted him to hear? Okay, now you have a choice here. We do not have to be afraid when we're submitted and doing good works and under the power of Jesus sent out into the world. We do not need to be afraid of the authorities. However, if you're doing evil as a Christian, okay, if you're, so for, if the he's the minister of thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears the sword in vain. Beareth not the sword in vain. He's the minister of God, a revenger. Only the government has been given the power to revenge. You do realize the church would say what? Vengeance does not belong to you. It belongs to God. Who did God entrust it with to address the evil in the world? He didn't give it to the church. What did he give charge to the church to do? Go therefore and make disciples. What did he give the charge of the governments of this world? They are to revenge upon the evil. They're God's instrument for revenge. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but for conscience' sake. Now Paul says it's a necessity. I think a lot of us think some of this stuff is optional. You read the Word of God, you hear that it's a command, it's instructing you, and you think, I'll get around to that one day. Well, let me rank the commandments. You realize the Ten Commandments aren't ranked? See, when you take this up, Paul says necessity, be subject, be submitted. There's all these authorities and structures in place in the home. There's nobody in this world who lives outside of authority. Everyone is under authority of some way, shape, or form. And in describing this, it is necessary to be subject for wrath. What's this? Because God has an instrument of wrath in this world. The governments of this world. And he'll even use that in wartime. That's confounding to us. But God's ways are what? They're higher than our ways. It's not for us to take vengeance or wrath. Here's the church, Romans 12. We just studied it. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's the way you get the environment to spread the gospel. Okay? Who reads my utmost for his highest? Oswald, right? Chaplain, World War I. Chaplain, not because he was fighting against the enemy of this world, but what was he doing? At the place where now men are dying untimely, where's the greatest need to have souls saved? You could die today. Would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Okay. So he had a ruptured appendix, and they were going to operate on him. But at the time when they were going to operate on him, the wounded came in from battle. And in triage, right, they were going to put him ahead of the wounded, because if he doesn't get his ruptured appendix operated on, and you know what he keeps doing all the time he's conscious? Put him ahead of me. Put him ahead of me. Now you understand this. That this must needs be subject. Why? Because people die and go to hell. Go therefore and make disciples of every nation. How do you get into every nation? Do you get in by taking power and authority over every nation? Christian ministries binding the enemy and all the stuff they say. It's like, what are you talking about? What do you mean rule over the seven mountains of the earth? What demon brought that teaching to the church? Right? You do understand that. It's prevalent. What I read is that we need to be subject. We're not going to rule over anything on this world. We're not going to have any authority over this world in regards to structures and governments and things like that. Until what? When Jesus comes. So because of wrath, I got sidetracked and got into that. But that's exactly what the Lord taught us in church, Romans 12:19. And then this conscience. And it's our Lord ourself who said unto us, all power has been given unto me. Here's what you go and do. Right? All you need is Matthew 28:19-20. You don't need any more. But since we don't want to follow that one with such authority over our lives, what do we then? We sit around and complain about the governments who are not letting us do whatever we want to do. It's morally good and right to do good in this way. That's the conscience sake. It's morally good and right for us to be subject like Jesus. So, some scripture for you. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Psalm 34:14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Depart from evil, do good, and dwell forevermore. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Mark 3:4. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? Only a submitted church could stand up to the government and say, stop murdering our babies in the womb. What do you mean subject unto every... When someone's commanded to take life, when it's legal to take life, what do you have a conscience, morally submitted people say, what? We cannot do that. So we have a church that's really weakened under the understanding and therefore practice of the authority that we're under. So God put us under his authority and then says, you have lived subject to me under all the authorities of the world. Instead, what does most of the church do now? Okay? These teachings of Jesus are real. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is. Now, is this at the place where it would be very healthy for the church to concentrate on the sins of omission? What we have not done. Okay? Romans 13:6-7. For this cause, pay ye tribute also. Pay your taxes, right? Or at the end of the year, in the completing, when they do that annual tax, because that's the country that you live in, pay it. Right? Remember the trap set for Jesus? Show me that coin. Whose image and inscription is that? Oh, that's Caesar's. Okay. If you live in this country and you operate and you use the money that's printed by this country, you can't get around that. They are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. But the IRS is an illegal organization. You don't think God didn't know all that? Think of how many things have been, you know, unlawfully obtained in the ruling of countries and over people. Huh. Maybe if we informed God how the IRS was formed, we wouldn't have to pay our taxes. sarcasm in place. Somebody will probably take that clip. Did you see what he said? Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due. That's an interesting one. You're taxed on an item that you either bought or brought into a country, import. As an example, like you, if you're going to live there, you're going to be under their rules. Now, Mexico is crazy because they're lawless. They have more laws than we do, so they can arrest you for anything, and you are can be held indefinitely. That's why you pay a bribe, isn't it? And then everybody knows that. There's nothing subject about what happens in Mexico. But this is the responsibility. The government has responsibilities to do. So we render custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. That's how the Christian life is. The Christian lives in subjection to all authority. In the home, right? Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. That's well pleasing to the Lord. Okay. You have the husband who's the head of the wife. The wife places herself under in that rank. That's the Christian authority in the home. We have authority in church, right? Jesus is our head. He has given us authority. He puts those in the church. Ephesians 4 talks about that. And then every place in this world, there is some sort of governing authority, some sort of higher power that rules in the governments of this world. So if you live in the Vatican, do you kiss the Pope's ring? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? But what if the king is in place by God and he's a lawful king and he's placed there? What do you do? Do you give honor to the king in the king's presence? Would you bow? Not to worship, but you would, wouldn't you? But if he makes you bow and worship him as God, what do you do? See, the early church was submitted under the government of Rome, birthed in a government like it's going to, the whole thing, the revived Roman Empire, we're going back to that. They worshiped the emperors. They were forced to take a pinch of salt in worship of the Caesar and say the Caesar is Lord. What would happen for the Christians? You don't need to make us do a pinch of salt. We're not going to say Caesar is Lord. Why can't you say Caesar is Lord? Well, by the Spirit, I can only say what? Jesus is Lord. I'm sorry, I'm already under a higher authority that says I don't get to bow down to you. Wait, I'm not sorry. See? But yet we're to be what? The most submitted? So when they thought about getting rid of all the Christians and killing them all in the Roman Empire, Nero killed everybody, by the way. But after Nero, they thought, well, let's get rid of this Christianity thing once and for all. You know what they found out? It was the Christians who were caring for the lame, the sick, the poor. They were literally caring for everyone in the Roman Empire. And the council came up to the Caesar and says, you can't get rid of them. Okay? Owe no man anything, verse 8. But to love one another, for he that loves another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill. Both of those used to be laws in every state in this country. I think there might only be one state where adultery is still on the books as illegal. But now, according to our not-so-Supreme Court, right? Each state can choose if murder is legal. Okay. Do you see why I took myself out of being an agent for the state once they changed marriage? I have no other way around this. I'll still do the church wedding, right? And I still counsel and instruct. You still need to get a license because that you still are under authority. It's just that I can't be their agent that says marriage is something different. Same way here. You can't agree to kill. right? This thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. I'm pretty sure that everybody wished that one was followed. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Law worketh no ill, or law worketh no evil. Same word. Now remember when we studied Romans 12, the church, abhor what is evil. That was the influence and the effect of evil. This evil is that which is intrinsically evil. It's good versus evil. It's just evil. What'd you learn? If you are evil and know how to give good gifts, what are we talking about here? We're talking about that which is of this world and that which is born from above. See, Jesus has put into us his life, birth of his spirit, and he leaves us here to overcome all that evil that is in this world. And he says, subject yourself unto every authority and go make disciples. Owe no man anything. So this is a reference to verse 7 where tribute, tribute, custom, customs, honor, honor, fear, fear. And he says, I've done all that. Is your work done, so to speak? If you've done all that, then what's the commandment now to you? Love. Love is the commandment. This is good. When you love, you'll not be found doing evil. Wow, what an amazing concept. If you love, you will be found not doing evil to your neighbor. And that, knowing that it is high time to wake out of sleep, especially on a Wednesday night after eating supper or after an hour of going through the teaching. All right, wake up now. But this one's important. At any given point in time, the church needs to be revived. If you study church history, all true Christianity has always been birthed out of revival. Because what happens over time? The commandments start to sort of get a little like, yeah. Darkness creeps in, sin comes in. And at any given point in time, we must be excited again or revived again or awakened, all those terms to describe, to be awakened unto the truth of God's word. If we all would concentrate on getting ourselves right with God in our personal lives and say, cast off the works of darkness. God, search my heart. And again, I want to know if there's any evil way in me, whatever sin, that stuff that I should have done. I mean, think about this one, sins of omission, right? Which then cause you to commit other sins. Just, and that you would then confess every sin and forsake every sin. And if the church would be awakened unto, right, putting off the darkness, putting on the armor of light, if we could somehow excite all of our minds to let's wake up to God's truth and let's listen to him and let's be genuine church. Well, this we've been doing for the last 2 months. That week of prayer and concentrating and confessing sin, this is not about making a slight gradual adjustment, but being, if you will, excited unto everything's got to change in me that's not of God. Proverb a day keeps Satan away. Or probably more likely, a proverb a day keeps the flesh away. So when I stand up and say that Christians can't be demon-possessed and you can't cast out flesh, see, many, many circles would be far happier to really say, oh, evil, the evil in me is from the devil. What have I learned? Well, I agree with my Lord when he says, the evil that's in me, it comes out of your heart. You don't cast out that nature that's in you. You Christians aren't demon-possessed. That wouldn't work with the Holy Spirit at all. Knowing now that it's time to awake out of sleep, now is our salvation nearer than we believe. What if we had the sin of not being submitted? Okay, you just take tonight's study, and where we haven't submitted. Proverb a day, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Anybody read today's proverb? You ready to submit unto it? Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? What's going on? Why is evil overtaking the world? Because the church is asleep. Now, we don't have to be asleep. If we would do what? We would listen to this, we'd say, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. If we walk in this world as Jesus, bright shining light of Jesus, walking in righteousness, going forth, doing good, healing, cleansing, forgiving, teaching, preaching, right? I'm talking a let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. I'm talking about the armor of light that goes forth in such a way that the church is like Jesus doing all those things that we're to be doing. That's a church awake. That's awakened, alive. So the word to us in Proverbs 6 is, how long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And Minnesota will have an emperor instead of a governor. See the example set before us? So what's the quote? The only thing for evil to abound is for good men to do nothing. So once we're wakened up here and we find out, when you learn from the ant and consider her ways, what'd you find out? Oh, the church is filled with a bunch of lazy people. It is. The church is filled with a bunch of lazy people. You don't believe that, huh? Or you don't like it?
I don't believe you.
You don't believe me? Okay. Church in America is filled with a bunch of lazy people. How about that?
But so far I know it, though. There are the pieces because it's good, so even if it's the regular world, of course the world is world, but not, even if it's the boss not around, if the authority not around, but I know what I say myself, like, Lord, you give me this word, let me do my best, because you watch over me, and then I want to do my best.
Right. And so I'm not calling that laziness. Okay. What I'm saying to us is what? Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Okay? This is not a salvation-based thing. This is not an acceptance by God. This is what? So, if there was an apartment fire, so we had the fire engines going right before worship tonight, if they were rushing off to rescue people from an apartment fire, and if you knew that there were people in the apartment, would you do anything about it? Right? Matt, we talked about this last night a little bit. See, what I'm getting at here is Jesus went forth into the world and did good. Okay? And he took the gospel out. And he was, in the words of Romans 12, he was not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now remember, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof. Okay, so you're not being reproved tonight, Lee. Right? You're being instructed tonight. Okay? Well, we'll talk more later. Tanya and I'll come visit and talk with you and stuff. So what am I setting before us? Anybody in here think that I'm right when I say the church is lazy?
Yes.
Why? No? Not that we could always do more. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Why? Because we'd rather have sort of a darkness. A little bit of darkness is okay in the church. See, we haven't done what? Darkness is not okay, is it? Okay. So the instruction is, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. So anybody want to go down this road with me? You want to take the next week between you and God and say, God, shine your bright shining light into every corner of my heart and reveal the darkness to me that I may cast it off. How do you cast off darkness? Is it a demon? No. If we, the church, would get alone with God and we would say, will you show us all our sins? And when I find them one by one, I will confess them to you for what they are. And let's cast off the works of darkness, and then let's go forth into the light, the armor of light. I propose unto you the lessons right there with the ant. And even though it's winter, we can't go look at the ants right now. You go to the ant, and she has no authority, yet does all the things that she needs to do to store up, to be ready to. And we, the church, we've been given a word. Again, I think this. We arise out of the sleep, right? Now, I'll leave you with this. This is kind of fun, and I'm already out of time, but this way nobody will get over early over to CKC. We just studied Romans 12, Proverbs 6. I just draw your attention to learn from the ant. These six things the Lord hates, right? Proverbs 6, 16. They're an abomination unto him. Okay. A proud look. Romans 12, 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. What if we, the church, would confess the sin of pride? Now, we're going to do a Resurrection Sunday outreach. And we've been told by the Spirit to do this outreach to those of low estate or in humble circumstances, whether it be poor on money or suffering or, again, mentally tormented or spiritually tormented, this is what we're called to do. So if we're going to get there and we're going to be church that is genuine, awakened, alive, and in the light and no longer lazy, listen, when I say we're in revival, and I stand up and say that, let's complete this. Let's not just get it started and let it fizzle. Let's complete this. And so if we would get alone and say, Lord, proud look, okay? I'm thinking of myself more highly than I ought to think. Okay, the next thing that's an abomination to the Lord, a lying tongue. Lord, would you show me every place that I'm lying? Or Romans 12, 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. The next thing the Lord hates, an abomination to him, hands that shed innocent blood. This one might startle you, but it goes together with Romans 12, 13. distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. Right? What did James teach us? You have your brother in need, and you say to him, be warm to be filled, but don't meet any of his physical needs. We've been told by the Spirit to open up the storehouses that we've been storing up and give. Hands that shed innocent blood, distributing and giving to hospitality, meeting the needs. Next thing is abomination, a heart that devises wicked imaginations. Romans 12:14, we're instructed to bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. If you can't watch the news without devising in a wicked imagination rather than blessing for those that persecute you, turn the news off. That's straightforward. Participant, Chris, or an attendee? Did you make your decision yet? The Holy Spirit bring you to it? You sure? Okay, here's your first instruction tonight. Okay? Feet that be swift in running to mischief. That's wicked from today's proverb. So right after you consider the aunt, consider her ways, that she's busy doing all the good that she needs to do to store up for the future. We, the church, learn from the aunt, busy doing all the things we need to do to prepare people for the kingdom of God. Do not be feet that are swift in running to mischief. The church was instructed in Romans 12:17, recompense to man no evil. Right? Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. 12:19. Another abomination, a false witness that speaks lies. We've been instructed to provide things honest in the sight of all men. And then this one, he that soweth discord amongst the brethren, with Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I really wanted to get through this all. Hebrews 5:14. Anybody know that one? So if you're wondering tonight, I wasn't treating you like newborn babies tonight, and I wasn't giving you milk. What was I giving you tonight? Strong meat. Something to chew on. So I propose to you what I'm saying when I say the church is lazy, that we're not doing the works that God has prepared for us to do. Not that we're not saved, not that he's not gracious and loving unto us, but what am I saying? Across the board, we're lazy because we're what? Walking in darkness rather than in the light. So what's 5:14 of Hebrews say to you? Same thing it says to me. By reason of use. How's it go? Who's got it?
By reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Okay, what are we talking about? Strong meat belongs to those who are mature. Let us go on to perfection. You know what? You know what we just turned the corner on here after going through Romans 12 and being the church? And what am I now saying to us tonight? Our placing ourselves subject unto the power of Jesus to go forth into this world. When we fix ourselves upon the gospel of Jesus Christ and go forth in that power and make disciples, we won't even be affected, right? If you think about it, by what the government is saying you can or cannot do. But when we turn on the news stations and they're poking at us while we're lazily not doing anything. Okay? That's where I'm coming from tonight. So if you have exercised your senses to discern both good and evil, you're looking around, you're saying, they are preventing the gospel there. We've got to get together and we've got to pray to break down that stronghold, and let's get the gospel back into the schools. Let's get the, you know, Now, it might seem like we're small and we're all alone, but we're not. Ask Elijah. Right? God, I'm all alone. I've stood for you all by myself. I've reserved 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So there is a remnant. There is a portion of the church who is very active. Okay? We're on the edge. We're being revived. When I say we're in revival, we're awakened unto the truth. And what I'm bringing you tonight, you don't put this into a bottle with a nipple on it and go to bed with it and oh, this is so good. You chew on this. If I put a race, right? You can have those Bible studies where you can race how fast you can get through them. If I get put a glass of milk before you or a 12-ounce New York strip, aged. See, there's something about chewing on the meat that's does what to you. See, you drink the milk. If it's a contest of how fast you could get through all this, you just say, just give me the milk. But what we're called on to here is to defeat Satan in this city, to overcome evil. Should there be more people in heaven because us getting and casting off the works of darkness, getting right with God and having our sin and our laziness and our complacency all addressed, that we take the commands of Jesus and we say, Lord, we got to do something about this. And then we can start sending people all over the city. We can be praying and let's do this and let's go here and let's preach the gospel and ask for the power of God once again to go forth. So, any mixed thoughts on where I'm coming from? I'd simply say this to us. Let's be the church that belongs to Jesus in His way and in His power. Let's cast off the works of darkness. Let's put on the armor of light. If everywhere you go, you imagine yourself walking in the light of the righteousness that is Jesus, and you would represent Him everywhere you go, including your home, would the TV channel get turned or come off? Right? Would that website disappear from your life? Would the, okay? So who's with me to say, okay, Lord, search us out this next week? Right? And between you and God, and you just do it every day. And yes, write the list out and then confess them in detail. Okay? And let's see if you come back more like the ant next week. Or maybe you can't even get to next week. You have to call me and tell me this is what's going on. So what happens when Christians walk in darkness? According to 1 John. We lie and do not the truth. I can't wait till this Bible study ends so I can get out of here. Father in heaven, we sit before you soberly, humbly, crying out for mercy. Lord, may you send the fear of God into our lives, in our personal lives, and then send the fear of God into this city. That in wrath, Lord, remember mercy. We recognize the wrath of God is coming, and we see evil lying and deceiving people right into hell. And Lord, you're not for that. We're not for that. So, Lord, we ask that you would awaken us out of our slumber, for it is high time for us to cast off the works of darkness. It is high time to rise from our sleep and put on this armor of light. Lord, gather these coals together, stack them all together, Lord, and bring forth the light of the Holy Spirit fire in our lives and send us forth in that armor of light. We ask that you give us divine encounters where we work, where we shop, with our neighbors. Open up our eyes to see those that need prayer. Open up our eyes to see how we can go forth and do good. Lord, may we not complain about our government one more day, but may we place ourselves subject and simply not bow the knee to Satan. but we bow the knee to Jesus. And Lord, wherever you lead us with that, and whatever you call us to do, Lord, we pray that the laws of this land would not be perverted or twisted. Lord, we fight for that which is lawful. So we ask your power to be upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.